Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll, and it's time for the fourth edition of a series that I call Vinyl Countdown, because every song I'm going to play on today's episode has been ripped straight from my vinyl copy of the record. I have about 3,500 LPs, and I went through them and dug out some interesting stuff. A lot of the songs I'll be playing today will feature guys who were in other bands, or bands related to other bands somehow. There are a lot of links and connections and stories I'll talk about on today's episode. Vinyl Countdown 4, The Vinyl Chapter.
Three times before, you have felt the terror, known the madness, lived the horror. But this is the one you've been screaming for. The final chapter.
So let's begin with a song by Colin Blundstone, who was the lead vocalist for The Zombies, a British band that scored 3 top 10 hits in the US in the late 60s. She's Not There, Tell Her No, and Time of the Season, before they broke up in 1968. Main zombie Rod Argent went on to form his own band, Argent, and Colin Blundstone actually left the music business and worked as an insurance clerk for a brief stint before resuming a career in music with his first solo album called One Year, which came out in 1971. Blundstone would go on to release 5 more solo albums over the course of the 70s, but right now we're going to hear the first song from the first record, a song called She Loves the Way They Love Her by Colin Blundstone, which was co-written by his former bandmate Rod Argent.
She loves the way they love her. She loves the way she loves.
Next up is a song by singer-songwriter Emmett Rhodes from his self-titled album from 1970. Rhodes had previously been the frontman of an LA band called The Merry-Go-Round, best known, if at all, for a killer single called Live, which you might know either because you have Rhino's awesome Nuggets box set or because you're a fan of the Bangles because they covered it on their first album All Over the Place. So, after the Merry-Go-Round broke up, Emmett Rhodes launched a solo career. First with A&M, which was the Merry-Go-Round's label, and then with ABC Dunhill, the label with whom he would release three albums. But the label ended up suing him because his contract called for an album every 6 months, and he was not meeting that obligation. You see, Emmett Rhodes recorded all three albums that he released with ABC Dunhill in his parents' garage, and he played every single instrument on the records. The first album, the instruments were recorded on a 4-track, then bounced to an 8-track when he did the vocals. The other two albums were recorded on the 8-track, and he did it all himself. Let's hear a song from the first record, Emmett Rhodes by Emmett Rhodes. Came out in 1970. This is a song called You Take the Dark Out of the Night. Okay, this next one, this is an interesting one. It came out in 1980. I'm going to play a song from an album called Rock Justice, which was the soundtrack of sorts to a rock and roll musical, which was written mostly by Mike Varney and Marty Balin. Probably most of you are familiar with both of those names. Marty Balin was a founding member of Jefferson Airplane and later Jefferson Starship, and Mike Varney had previously played bass in a Bay Area punk band called The Nuns, and would go on to form his own record label, Shrapnel Records, and help launch the careers of a bunch of heavy metal guitar shredders. Playing on Rock Justice, We have the rhythm section from Y&T, Phil Kennemore and Leonard Hayes, Mike Varney on guitar and vocals on two songs, and another singer named Jeff Pilson. You're probably familiar with that name, because Jeff Pilson, of course, would later go on to be the bass player in Dokken. So here's a song from Rock Justice. This song was written by Mike Varney, and it's sung by Jeff Pilson. It's a song called You're Such a Part of Me. Stackridge were a British six-piece band formed in 1969, not really a progressive rock band, although sometimes maybe they're called that. They were really just an eccentric pop group, quirkily British, you know? They signed with MCA in 1971 and released a self-titled album that year, but I'm going to play a song from their third album, record called The Man in the Bowler Hat, which came out in 1974. This album was retitled Pinafore Days for release in the U.S. by Sire Records. Let's hear a great song from The Man with the Bowler Hat, or Pinafore Days, by Stackridge from 1974. I love this song. It's called Fundamentally Yours.
Slip inside, where it's falling in.
So, Stackridge broke up in 1976, and former members Andy Davis and James Warren eventually formed another group, which they called the Corgis. They would have a hit in 1980 with a song called Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime, which went top 10 in the UK and top 20 in the US. But I'm going to play a song from the first self-titled album by the Corgis, came out in 1979, a song called I Just Can't Help It.
Maybe.
Mick Ronson is best known for being David Bowie's guitar player through the Ziggy Stardust era, but Ronson also released two pretty cool solo albums, Slaughter on 10th Avenue in 1974 and Play Don't Worry in 1975. I'm going to play a song from the first one, Slaughter on 10th Avenue, and this song was actually covered by Def Leppard and released on the 1993 compilation Retroactive. This is a song by Mick Ronson from 1974. Great song called Only After Dark. So Mick Ronson was actually in Mott the Hoople for a short time, I think, in the same year that record came out, 1974, but he would leave the band along with Ian Hunter, and at that point, without their frontman and main songwriter, the band Mott the Hoople would still soldier on, just shortening the name to Mott. And that version of the band, Mott, which was made up of Buffin, Overend Watts, and Morgan Fisher, from Mott the Hoople, along with new guitarist Ray Major and a singer named Nigel Benjamin, that band Mott would release two records, Drive On in 1975 and Shouting and Pointing in 1976. Not great albums, certainly pale in comparison to the classic Mott the Hoople stuff, but there are some enjoyable moments. Let's hear a song from the second Mott album, Shouting and Pointing, from 1976, This song was written by bassist Over End Watts, and it's called Collision Course. Singer Brian Connolly would leave Sweet in 1979, and the other three guys, Andy Scott, Mick Tucker, and Steve Priest, would go on to release three more records without him. Definitely not highlights in the band's career, but there are some decent songs, especially on the latter two records. I'm going to play a song that I really enjoy from the 1980 album Water's Edge. This record came out in the U.S. just called Sweet Six. And this song from that record is called Own Up, Take a Look at Yourself, which is confusing because the band, Sweet, had a completely different song with the same title, which was released as a B-side back in 1974. But this song came out in 1980. It's a different song and actually better, in my opinion. So this is a song by Sweet minus Brian Connolly, from Sweet Six or Water's Edge, depending on which country you bought it in, a song called Own Up, Take a Look at Yourself.
Hey, Mr. Rumble.
British band City Boy released 7 albums between 1976 and 1981. Not incredibly great stuff, but some of it is worthwhile. The guitar player in this band was Mike Slamer, who would later form a cool AOR band with singer Steve Walsh from Kansas. That band was called Streets, and I played them on the very first AOR AOK episode. Slamer also apparently played a lot of ghost guitar on the 2 Big Warrant albums. And he also had a hard rock band called Steelhouse Lane in the 90s. Let's hear a very glammy song from the first self-titled City Boy record from 1976, a song called Deadly Delicious. Up next is a song called Chip Away the Stone, written and recorded by Richard Supa, released on his 1978 album Tall Tales. And if you've read the awesome Aerosmith book, Walk This Way, then you know that Richard Supa features rather prominently in that book. Let's just say, from what I remember, he had a drug problem. Supa released 4 albums in the 70s, and Tall Tales was the last one. This song, of course, was also recorded and released by Aerosmith in 1978 on the Live Bootleg record and also as a single with a live version on one side and a studio version on the other side. And there was a video that MTV used to play in Headbangers Ball a lot for this song, and the studio version was also on the compilation Gems that I think came out in the early 80s. But let's hear the Richard Supa version of the song from his album Tall Tales from 1978. This is Chip Away the Stone by Richard Supa. Okay, let's keep the Aerosmith connection going with a song by a band called Dirty Angels. And this band featured David Hull on bass, and he would later be a member of the Joe Perry Project for the first two Joe Perry Project albums. And he also filled in for a cancer-stricken Tom Hamilton on bass with Aerosmith for a couple of tours in 2006 and 2009. His band Dirty Angels released two albums in 76 and 78, and I'm going to play the last song from the second album, which was a self-titled record. This is a song by Dirty Angels called Honey, Honey, Can't You See? Up next is a Milwaukee band called Bad Boy, and this band would eventually be joined by a guy named Zeno, who was the original singer in Cheap Trick. But there were three Bad Boy albums before Zeno joined, and those were the band's best work, actually. Basically great power pop. I actually played a song by Bad Boy on the radio station compilations episode, but let's hear a song from their first album. The record is called The Band That Made Milwaukee Famous, released by United Artists in 1978. This is a song by Bad Boy called Thinking of You. Child were a rock band out of Seattle. Not a lot of information available about these guys, but this record was on my want list for a long time before I finally found it at a record show a couple of years ago. It's not a great album, but it's pretty good 70s rock, so I had to have it. Let's hear a song by Child from their 1977 self-titled album released by a local Seattle label called Aerial Records. This is a song by Child called True Blue. So I have this mysterious album by this guy, Clark Kent. That's Clark with a K. And it's a 10-inch record, but it comes in a 12-inch sleeve that is shaped like a K. It was released by IRS Records in 1980. The songs are quirky, post-punk, new-wavy stuff. And apparently this Clark Kent guy played every instrument on this record. And who is Clark Kent? It doesn't tell you anywhere on the album, but there is a weird picture of the guy, which is sort of recognizable once you know who it is. Clark Kent was Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police. And Clark Kent was Stuart Copeland's version of a solo project. But what I don't think a lot of people know is that Stuart Copeland actually wrote both songs on the very first single that was released by The Police before Sting completely took over those duties. So here's a song by Clark Kent, Stuart Copeland, from his 10-inch from 1980, a song called Away From Home.
Lousy, okay. I finally got away from home. dealers are boy. I finally got away from home. I got an apartment of my own. Not sure exactly about the rent.
Talas formed as a trio in Buffalo, New York in the late 70s, and their first self-titled album came out on a local Buffalo label, which was called Even Fall Records. Came out in 1978 with a lineup of Dave Constantino, Paul Varga, and Billy Sheehan. The band would release two more records, Sink Your Teeth Into That on Relativity in 1982, and then an album called Live High Speed on Ice, with a different lineup of the band. Billy Sheehan, only member of the original trio on that third album. That album came out in 1984 on Combat Records. I'm going to play a song from the very first Talas record from 1978. This is a song by Talas called Expert on Me.
You call yourself an expert on me, but you really don't see any. You're telling me.
Airborne, with an E on the end, was a band formed by vocalist, guitarist, keyboardist, and later famous record producer Bo Hill. And this band was the reason, I guess, that Don Dokken had to change the name of his band from Airborne, without an E, to Dokken. Bo Hill's Airborne, with an E on the end, released one album on CBS Records in 1979. And the record was not produced by Bo Hill, it was produced by Keith Olsen. It's not a stellar album, but I really like this song a lot. Written by Bo Hill and guitarist David Zajcek, this is a song by Airborne called That's Where My Love Goes. From Airborne, we move to Air Race, and this is a band that Jason Bonham joined at age 17. The band released one album called Shaft of Light on Atco Records in 1984, and guess who produced it? Bo Hill. It's a decent AOR record. I like this song I'm going to play a lot. It's called Open Your Eyes by Air Race, with Jason Bonham on drums.
Me.
Boston band The Fools debuted in 1979 with a song called Psycho Chicken, which was a parody of the Talking Heads song Psycho Killer. The Fools released three records in the 80s, Sold Out, Heavy Mental, and World Dance Party. They were a fun band, not great, but some good songs. The first album is the best. Let's hear the title track from that first record by The Fools. Came out in 1980. This is a song called Sold Out. By the time that Jimmy Jameson replaced Dave Bickler as the singer for Survivor in 1984, post Eye of the Tiger, by that time, Jimmy had already been the singer in two bands with major label records. The first band, Target, actually released two albums on A&M in 76 and 77. Let's hear a song from the first self-titled Target record featuring Jimmy Jameson. Song called Are You Ready?
You
Jimmy Jameson's second band with a major label deal was a band called Cobra, and they released an album on Epic Records in 1983 called First Strike. Here's a song from that record by Cobra with Jimmy Jameson called Only You Can Rock Me. The band Drivin' and Cryin' was formed by singer-songwriter Kevin Kinney in Atlanta in 1985, and the band signed with A&M Records and released three sort of roots rock records in the 80s. Then in 1991, they made this sort of a splash with a more hard rock sounding album called Fly Me Courageous, which went gold, and I remember the title track especially got a lot of radio play at the time, at least in Milwaukee. several other songs from that record. They played them in Milwaukee on the radio a lot when that record came out. And I also have a memory of the video for Fly Me Courageous suddenly appearing at number one on Dial MTV. I'm not sure if that memory is correct. If you remember the same thing, let me know. I remember it sort of came out of nowhere and all of a sudden it was the number one video. I'm still convinced that the record labels would sometimes negotiate with MTV for that sort of placement. I think it was payola, really. But anyway, MTV did play that video a bit, and it's a great record and ended up going gold. But I'm going to play a song from the band's last album of the 80s, the record before Fly Me Courageous. That album was called Mystery Road. It came out in 1989, and this is a song from that album by Drivin' and Cryin' called You Don't Know Me. Alright, so I hope you enjoyed this fourth installment of Vinyl Countdown. I tried to put together an interesting collection of songs, and there will be a full list of the songs I played in order at the blog for further reference. Just go to rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com. If you just Google Rock and or Roll Podcast or whatever, it'll be one of the first things on the Google search page. So, and please, if you haven't already, go click like on the Facebook page, the Rock and or Roll Facebook page, and go leave a comment and a rating on iTunes. The better my numbers are on Facebook and iTunes, the better chance I have to do some cool interviews in the future. So please, if you like the show, help me build those numbers up on Facebook and iTunes. Plus, if you click like on Facebook, you'll see when I post a new episode, or if I try to do some listener involvement. If I post a request on Facebook, you'll be able to see it there. Anyways, like I said, bump up those numbers on Facebook and iTunes. If you're a regular listener, you know, get involved and send me an email, rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com. I love to hear from people. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with a song by a band called Lord Tracy. Now, if you listen to my hair metal episode, you know that I discussed the early Pantera records before they decided to transform themselves into a grimy thrash metal band. They were a glam metal band, and I, for one, am a much bigger fan of Pantera's glam metal records. Anyway, the lead vocalist on the first three, and the best three, in my opinion, Pantera records, was a guy named Terry Glaze, or Terry Lee Glaze, or on this Lord Tracy record, he is credited as Terrence Lee Glaze. So this band, Lord Tracy, is the band that Terry Glaze, former singer for Pantera, formed after he left Pantera. Lord Tracy formed in 1986, they signed with MCA, and they released one album in 1989, a record called Deaf Gods of Babylon. And it's a cool rock and roll record. It's one of those albums lumped in with hair metal or whatever, but it's really just a rock and roll record, and it's a good record, and I like it. So I'm going to leave you with a song by Lord Tracy. I could have played one of several songs from this album. Don't really have a standout favorite. I just like this record. But I chose a song called In Your Eyes by Lord Tracy. Till next time.
Baby, why don't you say a word?
be back.